Welcome to the Covenant Journey Podcast. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love of our Lord Jesus as we explore the timeless treasures of the Bible. Join us now as we explore God's Word.
On today's Covenant Journey Bible Podcast, we're going to be looking at John chapter 1, verse 1, but we're going to look at a particular aspect of the first verse of the Gospel of John. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Covenant Journey. Now, in John chapter 1, it begins with the famous statement, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It's an amazing way to open up the Gospel of John. And the whole of chapter 1 is just full of great theological concepts about God in the person of Jesus Christ. But you may ultimately encounter somebody who is with the Jehovah's Witnesses that might knock on your door, or you might find them somewhere, and they might begin to talk to you about Jesus. And Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus is God. They believe he is a God. Now, they will go to John chapter 1, and they will use their particular translation, which is the New World Translation. That is not a very good translation of the Greek, and it has a very significant bias. I'm going to take you down through various parts of John chapter 1, because you need to know whenever you're confronted by someone who tries to argue in John chapter 1 that it says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Not the Word was God, but the Word was a God. Now, they will tell you that in chapter 1 in the Greek, verse 1, that word does not have the definite article, the, to it. And they're correct on that. But they completely first misunderstand the use of a definite article in Greek. The definite article in English would be the. An indefinite article would be a. A God, the God, makes a big difference. A specific God or one God among many. Greek uses the definite article, but it uses it in a much richer way than we do in English. In fact, it's one of the amazing developments of the Greek language, among many others. It's a very precise language. And when it uses the definite article, sometimes it will use it to designate a specific person or place or thing, just like we would do in English. But oftentimes it doesn't use the definite article, and it won't use the definite article when it's talking about a personal pronoun, a particular name. Oftentimes it might not use it with regards to God. The Greek word here for God is theos. And in other times, it might want to not use the definite article, even though we translate it with the definite article, because in Greek, they're trying to show a quality or a group, or they're trying to show something unique as opposed to using the definite article. There are a lot of reasons why the definite article would be used. There's a lot of reasons why it wouldn't be used. Oftentimes, when the definite article is not used, we still, in English, translate it with a definite article. Now, that's the basic foundation. They misunderstand the use of the definite article, or the absence thereof, in Greek. Secondly, their New World Translation is completely biased, because I'm going to take you down through John chapter 1, where we're going to find, even in verse 1, certain words that we translate with a definite article, that their Bible would translate with the definite article, even though it's not there in the Greek. And I'll take you down through some other verses in the same chapter of John chapter 1, where the same word theos is used without the definite article, and yet the New World Translation uses the definite article there. So you can begin to see their bias. So if you have a place to write, I would encourage you to write these down and keep it in your Bible in the event that you ultimately encounter a Jehovah's Witness. Let's begin with John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. Now, we say in the beginning. The Greek doesn't have the definite article. It says in beginning, en arche. And it could be in a beginning, in beginning, the word was. Now, this is one of those places where Greek does not use the definite article, but when you translate it in English, you use the definite article. You know, our translations between languages are not one-to-one. And there's a lot of precision and reasons why Greek is written the way it's written. So if you ultimately, even in the same verse, John chapter 1, verse 1, are confronted with somebody that says, but at the end of John 1, 1, it says that the word was a God, because God doesn't have the definite article, take them right back to the very second word. Their New World Translation will use the between in and beginning. Ask them, why do they put the there? Why do they say in the beginning? Because in Greek, there is no definite article between the preposition in and the noun beginning. It just says in beginning. So they're inconsistent right off the bat. They impose, as they should, they include a definite article in between in and beginning, which is proper, but then when they get to the end of the same verse, they want to say, but there's no definite article before God, therefore it means a God, and that's when they begin to take you down this road. The second thing is, let's look at some other passages. John chapter 1, verse 2. He was in beginning. No definite article between in and beginning. He was in the beginning with God. We always put in, and the New World Translation will add, the. And that is proper. That is the way that it was understood in Greek, based upon its construction here. That's the way the New World Translation will translate it. But it's again, verse 2, no definite article between the word in and beginning, just like in verse 1. Let's move down to verse 6. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. Now, it actually says, there came a man having been sent from God, no definite article, named to him John. Or we would say his name was John. So in verse 6, the New World Translation would not consider this to be translated like this. So they do it right. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. They wouldn't say, there came a man who was sent from a God. His name was John. There's no definite article before theos, just like there's no definite article in verse 1. But when you translate it, you add the definite article the. Let's move down to verse 12. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, he gave to them authority to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now again, there's no definite article before theos, but they're not going to translate it. As many as received him, he gave to them authority to become children of a God. Again, no definite article before theos. But in English, you translate it with a definite article. And they will do the same thing in the New World Translation as well. So there's inconsistencies. You can begin to see their clear bias. So don't let them try to pull something on you that says, well, the Greek doesn't have the definite article in chapter 1, verse 1, so it's really referring to a God rather than the God. Let's move to verse 13. And it says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, again, flesh doesn't have a definite article, but in English, we put the definite article there. Another example that you can look at. Finally, let's look at verse 18. Verse 18, John chapter 1. No one has seen God, and again, there's no definite article here for God, so if they wanted to be consistent, it would say no one has seen a God, but that's not how you would translate it, and that's not how it's meant in Greek. But if you follow their flawed mistranslation, you would have to translate it the same way. But that's not how you do it in Greek, and that's not how you understand it in English when you translate it. No one has seen God at any time. Some of the versions will say the one and only Son who was in the bosom with the Father, he has declared him. It actually says monogenes, which means one of a kind, one of a certain kind of genealogy, a unique. It's ultimately referred to the only begotten sometimes, and it can be referring to an only begotten of a certain genealogy. It can also be one of a kind. But here is not the word son. It actually uses monogenes theos, the only begotten God. Now, what it's referring to is the only begotten divine Son of God there. But again, no definite article is there. Now, if you look, for example, at the ESV for that particular translation, it will say, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. That is a much better translation. I'll say it again. No one has ever seen God. This is the ESV. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Who is it referring to? It's referring to Jesus Christ. Now, theos does not have a definite article. It is modified, however, by the word monogenes, the only unique, the only begotten, the only one of a kind. No one has seen God at any time. The only God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. It's where we get our word exegesis, to bring out the Son of God has ultimately exegeted, has brought out, has declared, has explained, has expressed, is embodying the Father, and he has been in his bosom forever because he is God. Now let's go back. That's a technical overview, but it's something that as believers, you need to be equipped to defend our faith. And the scriptures are just full of jewels and pearls of great price that have been given to us through generations and through thousands of years of writing. People working late at night, writing by the candlelight with the quill pen and transmitting the Word of God through history, preserving that Word of God, even giving their lives for it. So let's go down and let's read this beautiful passage now that you have some background in the event that someone ever challenges you on John chapter 1. You can go through the very same chapter itself and show that this idea from the Jehovah's Witness is completely wrong. It's a beautiful chapter, so let's spend just a few moments here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things have been made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. That is a strong passage. Nothing exists in the universe that was made originally, and we still see the effects of it, except that it was made by the Word, and we're going to find out who that Word is in a few moments. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, of all people, really. That's really what it's referring to. The light of humans, his created beings in his image. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness was not able to overcome it, not able to apprehend it, some scriptures will say, or translations, not able to take it down, not able to stop it. Just like light is penetrating the darkness, and the darkness can't stop the light. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. The same came for a witness, so that he might witness concerning the light, so that everyone who believes through him might believe through him. He was not that light, but so that he might witness concerning the light. The true light was coming into the world, and it shines on all men. In the world, he was in the world, and the world through him became into existence. Yet the world did not know him. He came unto his own, and his own did not embrace him or receive him. But as many as did receive him, he gave to them authority, the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were not born of flesh and blood, or of the will of any kind of human engine, nor the will of man, but who were born from God. And the Word became flesh, and he pitched his tent or tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten or the only unique one from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness concerning him, and he cried out, saying, "He is the one of whom I said, the one who comes after me was before me, because he existed before me. From his fullness we all have received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only unique God, the only God who has been with the Father in his bosom, he has declared him." This is a powerful passage, and as we approach the Christmas season, contemplate on the Gospel of John chapter 1. It is a beautiful picture of God who created everything, through whom all things exist in the created universe. Everything was created through him. Has no beginning, has no end. He ultimately incarnated himself into human flesh and camped among us, and ultimately lived as a human being, fully human as well as fully divine, and ultimately gave his life as a ransom for you and I, on behalf of you and me, freely giving forgiveness and reaching out to all of us who have gone astray. There is nothing we can do to merit his favor or his grace. There is nothing we can do to merit salvation. It is all because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we celebrate that every Christmas season, let us not forget that Christmas is about this incarnation time where history was inalterably changed and God became a human being to ultimately walk on this earth like you and I, to live like you and I, but unlike you and I, to take the penalty of sin and suffering and take it into his own being and pay the penalty for our sins. May God bless you and your family. For more information, visit covenantjourney.org.
You've been listening to the Covenant Journey podcast. We hope that we have informed, inspired, and encouraged you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love for our Lord Jesus as we've explored the Word of God. Visit covenantjourney.org, where you can obtain additional notes and information to enhance your study of the Scriptures. The website again is covenantjourney.org. You can also email us at cj@covenantjourney.org. Share this podcast with your friends. Visit covenantjourney.org.